Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. For those who missed it, I am wishing you a good Friday morning, not just a Friday morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
My little buddy Kelly Bidley is here as well. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Huh?
Yeah.
Why are you look so suspicious? Like I was. It's a very sincere question.
I'm doing great. How are you,
like,
Gil?
I don't know, Gil. How are you?
I'm ready to go, man. Football Fridays.
Football Fridays. Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Always the headlines on Friday for hour number two. Can't wait for that. College pro college is how we do it. Hour number two. Before that, though, don't turn away yet. Jason Weingarten with all his bets from under a cloud of smoke. UFC 309 with Jordan Sherwood. You ready for some John Jones tomorrow?
Big UFC card tomorrow night. The this little boxing match is it feels like it's taking all the attention all of a sudden away.
There's a little thing tonight.
Yeah, a little thing
on
some guy named Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, we should probably circle back to that here at some point here in the hour. And of course, we'll do Are We Sure? Are We Sure for week 11 in the National League, in the National Football League. Estamos seguros, for those listening in Spanish. Are we sure about certain things in the NFL? Which means we have to begin. We're contractually obligated to begin with last night's football game. Philadelphia Eagles take down the Washington Commodores 26-18. Washington is, and we have said this on this show, I have said this on the show now for 4 to 6 weeks. They are exactly who we thought they were, right? They are a team that is capable of beating teams that are as good or lesser, but a step up in competition doesn't quite work out for them at this point yet. That is why they couldn't at any point be power ranked higher than the bottom half, not only the bottom half, but about eighth at the most in the top 10 power rankings. Now, that didn't stop me from micro betting them last night, by the way. First quarter, first half game. Game didn't work out so well. When it got to four, I couldn't resist anymore.
Man, that was surprising. I saw 4.5 at one point.
Yeah, it did get to 4.5 at one point. This is, listen, Eagles just a better football team. They wore down Washington. Let's go back to this because everybody, you know, once the game is over, there's a certain, Eagles won, Washington lost. And let's say all the positive comments for Philly and all the negative ones for Washington. There are plenty of negative ones for Washington to go around. But there was a lot in here for this game followed the same trajectory as that Philly-Cincinnati game a couple weeks ago, which is to say Cincinnati and Philly were tied through 2.5 quarters of that game before Philly took over with a pick. There was a fumble. There was a stop on downs. Philly just wore them down in the same way that they wore Washington down yesterday. I would argue that for 2.5 quarters last night, the Washington defense might have been the best unit on the football field yesterday. I had mentioned that last week, too, that everybody thinks the Washington defense sucks. It's not the 85 Bears, don't get me wrong, but they don't suck. And they showed that for a long time before they got worn out yesterday, because then it was the Washington offense that was just so putrid. The Philly defense took over, and the Washington defense was on the field for so long that I think they just got worn out of that football game. But, you know, and people are going to talk about Jake Elliott missed two field goals and he missed an extra point. That is true as well. That muted the score. But there are moments in the game that get lost. 7-0 Washington. There was a drive in the second quarter where you may remember Jaden Daniels threw to the feet of Noah Brown. Noah Brown was wide open inside the 30. The subsequent play, Austin Eckler could have just walked to a first down. He just dropped the ball. So there were moments like that also, right, which were self-inflicted, that were unforced errors by Washington as well. So let's not erase that part of it. I will say this, though. Jaden Daniels, worst game he's played. Philly deserves credit for that. I don't know how much of that was game planned by Cliff Kingsbury, that Jaden Daniels would not go downfield, or how much of it was that he just could not go downfield. Terry McLaurin targeted twice in this game, only caught one pass. I believe only two, until that last drive, I think only two wideouts caught a football, only once each. I think De'Ami Brown with a 4-yard completion at one point as well in that game. So absolutely Philadelphia Eagles, better football team, wore them down. The Eagles just went to Saquon late and just destroyed Washington. But I do think, you know, is Washington there for the, a lot of the armchair quarterbacking today is going to be, oh, I don't know if they're a playoff team. Their schedule tells me they're a playoff team. They have a very easy schedule. They're going to get some wins. They're going to be a playoff team unless they have a complete collapse here. The other thing is, as for the fourth and two, I'm going to have to agree for one of the rare times. I'm going to have to agree with the brain dead anti-analytics community who always tells you when a fourth down doesn't work, but always, always 100% of the time fails to mention when it does work the bajillion times that it does. But they were right about this one last night. Second and inches, you fail to get a first down. Third and one, you fail to get the, you actually get, you lose yardage. Fourth and two at that point, kick the field goal. Just kick the field goal and go up, right? And Washington didn't do that in a 12-10 football game. They couldn't get there. It was a bobbled snap. The play was botched to begin with. And then it was Katie barred the door from that point on, Philly just rolling. I think both teams are exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah, I was more okay with that fourth down decision than seemingly everybody else on Twitter.
I don't think it was the worst one on planet Earth, but I would have kicked at that point. Because you had the evidence on second and third down. You're like, okay, Jalen Carter is not going to let you do anything here.
Yeah, you know, you did. And obviously, I don't even know if I like the play call. We didn't even get to see it really play out.
That's right.
Once he fumbled the snap. That's but right. I don't even know if – I think you bringing up what they did on the earlier downs, I think that's why I can say I don't know if I really liked the play call. I think you want to get him out with a run pass option, I think, in that situation. But they've been so successful for it on fourth down all season. Like, I understand if you're Dan Quinn and that staff saying, all right, like, I don't know if a field goal is going to be good enough here to win this game. We got to take the chance here. I was sitting there on the couch saying I'd be kicking a field goal, but I don't have a problem with this right now. It's one of those games that's tough to look back, I think, from the Eagles side of things afterward, where what do you take away from the Eagles? I think if I just saw the score this morning, I would say, okay, Eagles really starting to show that they are one of the better teams in the NFC. And I don't know, after watching the whole game, I don't know if I can sit here today and say that they had a great fourth quarter. That's what I can tell you. They had an amazing fourth quarter.
That's what I'm just saying. I just think the oh, they're so good and the other team is so bad narrative is just incorrect of how the football game went yesterday. Now, in the end, are they the better football team? They are. Listen, 435 to 264 in total yards. And even that was a bit cosmetically, you know, colored by the last Washington drive. Can we speak about that last Washington drive, by
sure.
the way?
Yeah.
The lack of urgency down two scores was also very odd. First of all, there's a bunch of little signs, right? So Jaden Daniels is a relaxed guy to begin with, but when I was watching the pregame and they had him and they took a shot of him in the hole there before they went onto the field, and I'm like, this is one of those things where, like, the relaxed look. We used to say this about Robinson Cano in baseball. Robinson Cano had this really, like, nonchalant way about him. And when things went well, when he's playing for the Yankees, right, and things went well, you're like, ah, look, he's so cool.
Right.
But when they don't, right, it's very easy to turn on that kind of body language. So Jaden Daniels was it's not his body language, but, like, his sort of nonchalance with the face before the game. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know if this is going to be a rough one or not. He, again, that was his worst game. People can blame. We'll get to the Cliff Kingsbury stats again momentarily. People can blame the game plan. It was definitely Jaden Daniels' worst game.
Oh, yeah.
His worst game.
We talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
That is it's a lot to ask on any rookie quarterback. Yep. Short week, going in to play the Eagles at night on Thursday night. Like, that was going to be the big test all along.
But there was a lot odd, right? Including that for the fourth down call. But even that last drive was weird, right? And they were like, okay, well, you know, it is two scores. We'll see if we can just sort of, and they had the one shot of Dan Quinn getting, just losing his mind. Like, let's go. And by the way, I also didn't think that Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit properly, you know, conveyed how nonchalant it was until the very end. There was a lot weird with that too. There was the PI they called on Cooper DeJean on one of those where he yanked the shirt. They mentioned that, but on the previous drive when Sanistril was called for a phantom illegal contact, they said nothing. They, like, said two words. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, say something. It just didn't happen.
That one was really annoying because, like, that's one of those calls. Like, okay, you could call that on almost every play in the NFL. Yeah. Like, he's passing off the wide receiver, right? I had a bigger problem with the lack of urgency that you're talking about than that fourth down call.
Me too.
I was like, what are we doing here?
Yes.
Like, this is, You're still in a game. What is going on?
And the 2-point conversion to Ertz, which I think Fezzik wants to talk about later on the show. The 2-point conversion on Ertz, I think they missed the point of the whole replay, yeah. Which was he may have been bobbling the football the whole time they're looking at the feet. So I'm just like, okay, it was just an off broadcast to me.
I mean, I went like, it got so bad, you know, like I went volume up on the Mavs game because I was like, I don't know, Washington's just taking their sweet-ass time.
By the way, here's the Cliff Kingsbury numbers again, in case you missed this yesterday. This is the thing about Cliff Kingsbury through the years. Now, all the Texas Tech and Cardinals years you see at the bottom, those 10 years are Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach. Last year, he was the senior offensive assistant at USC. This year, of course, the OC with the Commodores. What you see on the left column is your first 7 games, and look at that. First 7 games in those roles, his teams, Washington Commanders, USC, and the Cardinals and Texas Tech, 56-27-1, first 7 games collectively of all of those seasons. And what that's 12 seasons of football. After that, this is updated from last night, 22-59.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. I'm so glad you put this stuff together because, like, you can hear this all you want, but once you see the numbers in your face,
it's incredible.
It's incredible. And I don't, like, I'll say what I said yesterday. I don't know that I'm running out to, fade the Commanders' yes. offense every week going forward, but there's something in there.
It's pretty fast. I'm with you, Kelly. I'm with you exactly. I don't know that it's actionable trigger a bet information, but it is a little bit of put it in the betting arsenal of things you're going to pay attention to.
Yeah, you know, sure
I don't know
is.
If it, I don't know if it outweighs anything else, but it's something to keep in mind. So there it is. Eagles, by the way, congratulations. If you're on the Eagles last night for the game, good on you, despite the number moving up as the Eagles wear down Washington and absolutely prove that they are still the best in the NFC East. That's for sure. They'll get another shot. Washington will at Philly. A little later on in the season. We'll come back. We'll talk about things we are or are not sure about in the NFL. A little segment we like to call Are We Sure? That and some Tyson Paul talk from Teddy Atlas's perspective next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sporttrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, now Virginia. Download Sporttrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than the producer. Want to give you those two Are We Sure's real quick before we get to Jordan? The two remaining?
Oh, sure, you got it.
Are We Sure?
This is kind of away from NFL, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
We should not be betting Shedeur Sanders to be the number 1 pick.
Well, we're not.
Should we be betting him right now?
I know, it's so many double negatives.
Yeah, there's a lot of double negatives.
We are sure that we are not sure. No, I'm not sure that we shouldn't. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, he's over 2-1 right now.
Especially everybody's conspiracy theory where it's like Cowboys fire McCarthy, hire Deion, Shedeur. I don't know. He might very well be the first pick. He might.
I'm kind of starting to think about it, especially since some of these other quarterbacks, like Carson Beck, right? Like, he's falling off. No. I don't know if he's right there. All right, NBA one for you. Are we sure Wemby will be in the MVP hunt at the end of the season?
I don't know about that. I think, look, he's capable of that 50-point outburst that he had the other night, but I don't know that it's going to be consistent enough. You?
I don't know either. That's why I wanted to ask the question.
So.
I'm really excited at the possibility, though.
You have a ticket?
Yeah, we both do. Right? It's like our Bengals ticket. Didn't we bet it like as soon as it opened? Yeah, we bet it as soon as it opened.
I don't. I have
it. It did go to 150-1 to 50-1 real quick after that 50 burger.
Sure did. But I'm all about Steph at this point. All about Steph. It's a big combat sports weekend. Let's talk some UFC 309 with Jordan Sherwood, who joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is, of course, the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Jordan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, like you said, it is a very interesting, almost DeLorean time machine combat sports weekend with the Paul Tyson fight and then UFC 309. With Stipe Miocic and John Jones fighting for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, before we get to John Jones and Miocic, let's talk about real quick to see if you have any thoughts on Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a spectacle. It's on Netflix, thankfully, so I will be watching if I'm awake, because I don't know what time they're going to head to the squared circle. If you're a fan of Mike Tyson, I probably wouldn't suggest watching. I think the likely two scenarios are either a knockout or a split decision, controversial decision in Jake Paul's favor. When I handicap mixed martial arts fights, you have to take in age gaps into account. And certainly when you're talking about three decades of a difference in boxing, I think you do as well. So as much as I'd love to see Mike Tyson, go back to his glory days and knock out Jake Paul, I don't see that scenario happening. So I think it's Paul via KO or Paul via decision as the likely result.
Do we just live bet Paul after like round three? You know, like when Tyson tires about. See, Gil's getting upset about this.
I knew you were going to bet this in the end. I knew you were going to bet it. You can't resist. I thought you weren't even going to watch it.
I don't know that I will. I don't. But if I am, totally I think I'm going to live bet him after.
Well, maybe
rounds.
I won't be able to resist either. We'll see. I just don't want to see Jordan. The only thing I don't want to see Mike Tyson on his back from this. Like, I don't need that image.
Yeah.
I just don't need that image. All right, let's get to UFC.
Yeah. I was just going to say, probably don't watch it then, because that could happen.
Okay. All right. UFC 309, John Jones, as you said, the main event, John Jones and Stipe Miocic. This is a John Jones, Miocic. John Jones, a big favorite here, minus 625. John Jones, when last we saw him, was taking down Cyril Gaon, but that was over a year ago. But he's had a year to prepare for this, right? And Miocic, the thing with him is great career. I think most people remember, and maybe this feeds into this line being so lopsided, most people remember him losing to Nagano, I suppose. But before that, he was awesome. How are you betting this? Pretty interesting fight.
Yeah. Look, it should have happened years ago. It was booked for March. But, John Jones suffered an injury. So, it's over a year since he competed, but it's been over 4 years since we last saw Stipe Miocic inside the octagon. And granted, yeah, Miocic is a future Hall of Famer, probably considered the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. But what is he going to look now like at 42 years of age against John Jones, who, looked brilliant, as you alluded to, in his heavyweight debut? He's now had a year and a half to get adjusted to fighting at that weight class and not at 205. And it's just a difficult matchup for Stipe Miocic. He's going to have to negotiate the distance because John Jones has that unbelievable reach. So Stipe is going to have to sit in the pocket. Stipe has always relied on his wrestling during his career and is, becoming the heavyweight champion. Jones is a better wrestler than him, and I think can utilize that. So I agree with the odds. They're completely lopsided. I do expect John Jones to completely run through Stipe Miocic because I don't see an opportunity where Stipe's going to be able to land one of his strong power punches and cause John Jones some issues, because John Jones has never been touched throughout his entire mixed martial arts career. So here's the play. I think at some point John Jones goes to his wrestling and gets Stipe on his back and locks in a submission. The price is high on that, because Miocic has never been submitted in his mixed martial arts career. He's only been knocked out. But I think John Jones has relied on submissions, relied on his grappling. So at that price point, which I've seen it anywhere between like plus 250 to plus even 400, I think that's the likelihood result that you have to play.
Okay, John Jones via submission. And there's no doubt John Jones, correct me if I'm wrong, best pound-for-pound fighter in the history of UFC, yes?
Yeah, look, the only blemish on his career is what's happened outside the cage. He had a loss, a DQ loss early in his career, which has now been kind of retracted because they now allow the 12-6 elbows. And I hope John Jones looks brilliant. I hope he has the itch to fight one more time, because Tom Aspinall, the interim heavyweight champion, that's the fight most fight fans want to see, and hopefully we get it. If they pay John Jones enough money, I think he'll step in the cage and fight Aspinall.
All right, co-main, Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. Oliveira, a minus 245 favorite here. They fought before. Oliveira stopped Chandler early second round. Now Chandler's older, still giving away reach, still giving away height. How is this going to be any different?
It's not. I see Charles Oliveira probably having a Charles Oliveira fight where he likely gets dropped in the first round, looks like he's going to get put out of there and then recovers and finishes Michael Chandler. You got to remember, Chandler's been preparing for a fight with Conor McGregor at welterweight for the last 2 years. That fight never came about. And now he's fighting at lightweight against a guy that finished him. Charles Oliveira looked great in his last two fights, even though one of them was a loss. And Michael Chandler, despite his career and being at the, you know, at the top of the marquee and a former champion in other promotions, gets hit a lot. And he has some of the worst defense we've ever seen in mixed martial arts. Oliveira is going to land something. So, you know, look, I think you got to get that price point down to about minus 200 for Oliveira inside the distance. And I see a submission happening as well. So there's plus money there. Oliveira wins the fight. And as Kelly was talking about betting it live with us off the air, Paul Tyson fight, maybe you bet this live because I think Oliveira maybe loses the first round and then bounces back and gets the finish.
I'm no UFC expert, but gets hit a lot doesn't seem like an optimal strategy.
It's not a good strategy
to lead with your face. No,
not a good strategy. Bo Nickel also on the main card. He is a prohibitive favorite against Paul Craig. Bo Nickel, a 6-0 lifetime. How are you choosing to bet this?
Yeah, I think Bo Nickel wins this fight in the first round. Paul Craig, you know, likes to be put on his back because he relies on his submission game. And Bo Nickel, that's where he shines, is in top mount position. So either Bo Nickel is going to get a quick knockout on the feet because Paul Craig also leaky defense, or he's going to be able to get on top, feel comfortable in Paul Craig's guard and get the TKO finish. Bo Nickel is special. He's a guy that many people have pegged to be fighting for a middleweight championship very soon in his mixed martial arts career. This is a showcase fight for him on the marquee in Madison Square Garden before the two big co-main and main event fights. So I think Bo Nickel wins this fight and wins it early in round one. You get it at plus money.
Okay. Give us one on the preliminary card, if you would, Jordan.
Yeah, you see there on the screen, Eric Anders, I think he's should be the big favorite against Chris Weidman, the former middleweight champion of the world. Weidman hasn't been the same. He's at 40 years of age as well. Hasn't looked good since he broke his leg two fights ago. I don't think he's going to be able to utilize his kickboxing or his wrestling to control Anders, bigger guy in the cage. So Eric Anders at a $1.20 price would be the direction I would recommend.
Okay, John Jones via submission from Jordan at 4-1 odds. Always shop around for the best price. Charles Oliveira, how are you doing that one again? You are going.
Yeah, I think to get it down inside the distance only is minus 200, but submission prop, if you want some plus money, I've seen it out there. It's some good value. So Charles Oliveira via submission.
All right. Bo Nickel in round one at plus 110. And then Eric Anders on the prelims, taking Eric Anders on the money line at minus 120. Going up against Chris Weidman. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend, including the fight tonight, man. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, UFC 309 tomorrow night. After, of course, the Tyson-Paul fight tonight. So a big combat sports weekend. You can follow Jordan, by the way, again at Wood on ESPN 1000. Jason Weingarten warming up the Football Friday Talk next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Pick any of those. Just appreciate you allowing us to be part of your morning each and every morning right here on A Numbers Game. This is the hour you've all been waiting for. Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob standing by, ready to do their thing. Matter of fact, let's not have them stand by anymore, Kelly, shall we?
Let's not.
Let's do this. Chris Felica joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You may know him as the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. How you doing, Christopher? What's happening?
We got to get this hour sponsored by the Legends Club.
Or something. Legends, whatever you could think of. That's the name, the Legends.
Or a hotel chain. Can I start with my favorite question?
Please.
Chris, where are you staying at this week?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel. The Renaissance.
Oh,
so okay.
Renaissance Boulder and the Flatiron. Yeah, very, very comfortable accommodations this week out in Colorado.
In honor of my backup quarterback rankings, someone ask this of you. Could you rank discount hotels 1 through 5 for us?
We got to do a full podcast on this.
Oh, can I come back to that?
Sure,
on that?
You can.
I don't want to waste time while I rattle my brain through and
okay.
think about it.
All right, please take all the time you need. Take all the time you need on that.
I will. Next week, I promise.
I'm contractually obligated to ask this. I know it's the second time I've used that phrase today, but Tyson Paul, are you doing anything with this?
No.
Okay.
There's no chance this fight isn't rigged, right?
No, I don't think there is. I don't think there is at all. You know, Jamie Leyva, this is again, people's thoughts are reflected well in these tweets. He says, I agree with everything you guys said about the Tyson fight. However, he spells it, if there ever was a boxer to go off script, it would be Mike. I will definitely be watching. Who doesn't want to see Paul get knocked out, have a magnificent...
But that's the thing. We all grew up getting together in the late 80s and such. Like, it was how quickly is Mike Tyson gonna pummel Marvis Frazier into the ground? And that was like, that's what we want to see. We want to bring back those memories of happiness and seeing Mike Tyson, the most feared man on the planet. At that time, but is that going to happen? Probably not.
Marvis Frazier, I believe, was 29 seconds. Don't hold me to that.
Something like that.
Michael Spinks was 91 seconds. Don't hold me to that. Something like that. Okay, let's get to college football. You through text this week, you had some very interesting thoughts that have led to some very interesting bets. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, if you look at the SEC, it's a really, I don't want to say ridiculous, but they're going to be a bunch of tiebreakers that come into play here. And I think ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to get the winner of Texas A&M taking on either Alabama or LSU. And I think Alabama should beat Oklahoma. Alabama should beat Auburn. I think each of those teams are 1-5 in the SEC. And then you're looking at Alabama versus the winner of Texas A&M. You can get Alabama still around 4-1 or so to win the SEC title. I think that's a really good bet, being that under these scenarios. I think a lot of this also assumes Georgia as a 10-point favorite beat Tennessee tomorrow, which is a likely case. But then the way the tiebreak's probably going to break down, you're going to see Alabama in that game. And 4-1, I think, is a really good bet there. 4-20 was what I saw them at FanDuel a couple of days ago. I don't know what it's moved to now. And then yesterday, I bet, as a result of that, kind of correlated, Jalen Milroe with 23-1 to win the Heisman. Because I think if you do get Alabama in that game, and they do win the SEC title, you have to, I don't want to say assume, but say Colorado, who I have a Travis Hunter ticket, of course, there's a little bit of a hedge against that. Say Colorado loses a game and doesn't get to the Big 12 championship game. Say Oregon gets to the Big 10 championship game and loses. Say there's a block of people out there that still don't really believe that a Mountain West running back is the best football player in the country. You look at a quarterback of an SEC champion team at 23-1. I've certainly made stupider and worse bets than that.
Yep. I just grabbed some Jalen Milroe at 25-1 back here at Circa before the show. As a matter of fact, who on that board? Let's ask it this way. You may have already answered it, but who on that Heisman board? Travis Hunter at even money. Dylan Gabriel at +350. There is Ashton Gentry at 4-1. Cam Ward at 7-1. Those are the only folks in single digits before you get to Curtis Rourke on down. Who's the one that absolutely will not be winning this? Like, who are the ones you can just throw out?
Curtis Rourke isn't going to win. With the schedule that he's played, like, unless you think they're going to beat Ohio State and beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, the money line parlay on that is probably just as big of a roller. Just Ohio State or Indiana on the money line next week. Indiana on the money line in the Big Ten championship game. You're probably getting close to that number anyway. I don't think any of the guys below Genty can win. Like, I still don't think Genty can win. I don't think any of those guys in double digits really have a realistic price outside of my thought process on Jalen.
I was about to say, it sounds like you softened your stance on Genty a little bit there, though. Like, you're opening the door a little bit for him.
Well, I think if you play out the scenario that I played out, and maybe Alabama doesn't win and everything happens, then it's like, okay, he ran for however many yards, Boise's going to the college football playoff, maybe it's just kind of this default award. But I still don't think that's going to happen. I think in real world, we've ultimately narrowed it down to two, Travis Hunter and Dylan Gabriel, and my flyer on Milroe probably won't win, but like I said, I think it does have a chance if things get a little crazy here in the last couple weeks of the season.
Okay, college football this weekend. Where are you going to be, by the way, with Big Noon Saturday?
We're in Boulder. We're in Colorado before the Colorado Utah game, and it's interesting because I was listening to Jason as well, and the number is crazy. It's drifted up into double digits, and you got to go back a long ways to find the time last time at Utah. Were a double-digit favorite. It's funny, you hear the stories this week about the Utah football building for people who have been there a while and around the program. They said they have not seen that building and is despondent of a mood as they were on Monday morning. So who knows if they come out of that. The one thing I will say for Jason is the best thing for Utah is they're as healthy as they've been in the front seven all year long, so that should probably give them a decent chance of slowing down the Colorado attack. But yeah, I'm with him. I certainly couldn't lay double digits here with Colorado.
All right, let's hear him. And please don't say Kansas. That's all I'm asking. Please don't say Kansas.
No, I'm not going to say Kansas.
Okay, thank
I'm
you.
I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to put through Jake Retzloff hate there.
Thank you.
But I did have Utah last week. I played Washington tonight, -3.5. It's up to 4. I wouldn't go higher than 4. I think it's moving towards 4.5, but UW has been a much different team at home this year. Will Rogers is going to play. I see you're showing 4.5 at Circa now. So I think there are still some 4s out there you can find. UCLA amazingly owned the line of scrimmage last week, running the ball against Iowa, who wind up having to play a converted linebacker as a backup quarterback. And in that game, I don't think they're going to be as fortunate tonight. So I would still lay 4 with Washington. I took 14 with Wisconsin against Oregon solely because Wisconsin looked so bad the last time they played. And I know they've been blown out by 2 top 10 teams on their home field. And I don't think they're necessarily that good. But Oregon, you kind of get this vibe. Like, they played great ever since that Ohio State game. At some point, I think they just might have like a go through the motions kind of game. And maybe that's good enough. Look, this isn't a situation where Oregon in the BCS or a 4-team playoff needs to go out and put up a big number for style point. They know they beat Wisconsin. They beat Washington. They win the big, they're in the playoff and they're the number one seed. So it's about, I think, kind of just managing the game, managing workload, and making sure you don't get Dylan Gabriel or Birch or anyone else injured come second half. So I played Wisconsin +14. And I played San Jose State +14 against Boise. But I don't think this is going to be a gimme game for Boise. You look at the couple of games Boise's had on the road this year in Mountain West play. They were life and death at UNLV, who's a good team. They went to Hawaii, and that was a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. Last week, they didn't really even look great against Nevada. Nick Nash is one of the best wide receivers in the country. I think San Jose State and that offense can put up points here. Their rush defense is not terrible. So I think 14's a lot here. I took the Spartans here plus the points, and I played a Missouri team total under 14.5. I think Missouri is the biggest fraud in the country. Somehow they're 3-2 in SEC play, and they probably should be 5-0. You beat Vanderbilt in double overtime on your home field. You scored a touchdown with 46 seconds left to beat Auburn on your home field. You scored 2 touchdowns in the final minute to beat Oklahoma on your home field. Those 2 teams, like I said, 1-5 in SEC play. All 3 of those games were in Columbia. Now you're on the road with Drew Pine most likely at quarterback against a really good front. And you talk about a season of what could have been. South Carolina, I think, is like the perfect example of that. They easily could be 8-1, kind of gave away a game against LSU early in the year. Very possibly could have beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So South Carolina, one of those teams, 6-3, but much better than what their record indicates.
Wow. Chris Velika calling the Harvard of Boone County the biggest frauds in college football. Tell Parlay.
I'm sorry. Don't tell the Grover Cleveland of Ben Wilson about that.
Parles and Wilson, shots fired.
Exactly. Elliot Bowman, too. He had to correct my English earlier
Elliot
today
too?
Before the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Real quick, rapid fire. Will there be a 3-loss team in the playoff ultimately?
I'm going to say no. And I'm only basing that on how the committee ranked the basically loss ordered teams this week. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no 3-loss team.
I fear yes. That is my stance currently.
Okay, we'll see.
And then your favorite NFL play of the week is?
It was Philadelphia last night, but I'm going to get sucked into the Bengals again, and I hate myself for it, but I'm going to do it. You look at the quarterbacks that the Chargers have beaten this year: Minshew, Bryce Young, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Jameis Winston, Willie Levis. Next four games, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Patrick Mahomes. There's a time to bet an all win total maybe on the Chargers going under, and maybe bet against the Chargers. I think it starts on Sunday.
And just to clarify, Chris said he was sucked into it. Just want to make sure everybody heard that. Thank you, Chris.
Yes,
appreciate
correct.
It. Fezzik is next from Veet.